Good morning, everybody. Happy 2025. Welcome back. We're going to go over a few things, but before we do that, I'm going to let our chairperson take over.
Great, thanks. Well, we've verified quorum and you've done welcome, so we'll just move right into item number two, which is approve the meeting minutes for August 8th. Does anyone have any comments or would like to make a motion on that?
I'll make a motion to approve them.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All in favor of approving the minutes from August 8th, say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, say nay. I believe they passed.
Yep.
Okay. Then we get to the next item on the agenda, Housing Trust Fund Advisory Board reappointments. Want to take that one away?
Yes, sir. I just realized I don't know how to count properly. I didn't know five came after two. Sorry, everybody. Yeah, for Housing Trust Fund Advisory Board appointments, Dayan, Claudia, and Stephanie, thank you for all the work you've done and wanting to continue with us. We're very excited. As just to kind of point out for the ordinance real quick, now that you are all on your second term, I know, Matt, we did this last year, so you guys are on your second year of your second term. For you folks that are getting reappointed, this is now a three-year term moving forward, so now you're on your first year of your second term. And Stephanie, thank you again for continuing as the vice chairperson moving forward. Are there any questions about reappointments? Cool.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the... Oh. Sorry, I was going to say something.
I think there's some background noise.
Okay. So then that gets us to the next item, Accessory Dwelling Unit Resource Toolkit, RFP. Want to give us an update on that?
Yep, it'll be super brief. Very, very excited to share that the ADU Resource Toolkit, it's a mouthful still for me, for Bluffdale City is... like 99.99999% complete. Last time we spoke with FFKR at the end of last year, they were getting some final things touched up within the checklist and the actual toolkit from recommendations and edits that they got from Bluffdale City's Council. Once those are complete, I will be happy to share that with the group.
Why are we getting feedback on there?
I do not know. I think we're good now. So, yes, we're almost done with the toolkit, and we're meeting with FFKR today, later today, actually. And we are going to start executing the rollout plan. There was a soft launch starting this month, so if you look up on Bluffdale City's website, I forgot how exactly to maneuver through there, but it's already up there. The toolkit, the draft toolkit is up there, and so is the checklist. There might be some edits moving forward, but nothing crazy. Thank you all again for your hard work and looking into that RFP process for us. Are there any questions on the toolkit or any work with Bluffdale?
Hearing none. We'll move on to the next item, which is the home request for applications.
Yep. I'm actually going to pass it on to Russ.
And then yesterday.
Yeah. So hopefully.
Is somebody online?
Maybe
if we have Jeff. Jeff, can you move it first, please?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, so everyone should have received from Josh a copy of the one application that was submitted for new development. Yep, that's the entirety of it, is just the one. So the goal today would be to have you guys discuss your views and scoring on that application and come to a conclusion on if it should or should not be recommended for funding and at what level. A reminder, this is Home Investment Partnership funding, federal dollars, that can be used for the construction of new affordable housing. And we are just seeking your guys' input. Since there's only one application, that's hopefully a pretty simple process, but here to answer any questions about the application process. If not, I turn it to you, Josh, to have a discussion.
If I can just add a point real quick.
Yes, sir.
Similar to what we did last year, we are giving our recommendation here. You guys are giving the recommendation, but unfortunately we are not the final say because that's the home consortium, right? They give that final recommendation, then it goes to a public body for approval?
Just for public comment.
Public comment, okay.
Yep.
So just want to make sure everyone is aware of that as a team.
They'll have that final say, but I think they will take this recommendation very, very seriously.
I think they took ours last year, correct?
Yeah.
I'll turn it over for comments from the group. Is that, I mean, the next thing is that?
Yep.
Discussion. But I had just one quick question before that, which is, if I remember correctly, the expectation is that there was a 5-year term in the program and they're asking for 15. Is that something we can do?
If you guys recommend it, it's the 5-year was an internal time limit on it. Absolutely no reason we couldn't change it up if the board
was it 5 years to spend?
It was a 5-year repayment term.
Okay.
So yeah, we could, the expenditure is way more important, that timeliness. But yeah, I don't know if that's something you'd want to move up to the consortium.
Yeah, I think
yeah. Yeah, we knew 5 was going to be tight, and if it was a competitive process, we probably would stick to it, but since we just have the 1.
Okay. All right. Does anyone have any comments that they would like to make? Sorry. So we'll go through a round of making comments, and then I think, are you looking for us to have a score that is collected, or is the primary thing us recommending it with terms, like if we're going to go about 15 years.
We'll definitely gather the score sheets because we will need to say, like, you know, it scored this.
Yeah.
There's no threshold that they need. But the recommendation is the most important part to us.
Okay. So then let's open it up for anyone who has any comments on this.
Just to clarify one thing real quick. So you said you do need us to submit our score sheets to you?
You can send them to me, and I'll forward them on to Russ. Matt, I got yours, and that's my fault. What I understood is that we just wanted to get the pre-scoring completed, but it is good practice for us to send them to me when you complete them, so that way we can, you know, just keep doing that moving forward with any questions.
So with our comments, so there's a section for comments, right, where I wrote a bunch of my personal comments. Are these like a public document that are subject to the open records?
Yeah, whatever you send into Josh will become grammable, but if you want to leave those comments in so we can discuss now and then take them out before you send them, that's fine.
Okay, so our names aren't on them then?
We'll never give the names out. We'll just say a scorer scored you this. We're not going to identify it by person. They would also know that you were on the scoring committee, but they wouldn't be able to one-to-one.
Okay, perfect. I do have comments, but I'll let
us
go first.
Did Josh, I sent set in my score sheet, but did I overlook the actual plans? I saw the narrative and the finance structure, but I didn't see like the site plan or building elevations or, but maybe I missed it.
No, I don't think they submitted it.
Yeah, so I'm going to look to. I didn't see that when I reviewed the application.
Okay.
To my understanding, we're the first set of dollars for this project, correct?
I'm not 100%.
Okay.
So just a couple things that I remember from this is one is like they have like the note and some of those other things like that. But as far as like tax credits or revenue bonds, whatever, like none of that has been identified yet. And then at some point
Matt, I'm sorry. Can you just remind me the name of the project here?
Kern's Apartment Project with Brinshore and Housing Connect.
And they have a seller note of 9.7.
Okay.
So
I knew they had one source.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking. I was like, I think they have one. But yeah, definitely not fully fleshed out, Claudia.
But like, and then it, go ahead.
So I guess my comment is it premature to award these funds? Because they didn't get tax credits last time, you know, there's a 9% round coming up and obviously very uncertain as to whether they would get credits going in this time. You know, they didn't score well enough. They didn't score near well enough to get credits last time. So Would it not be better to, this is, I mean, I'm just asking the question. Would it not be better to award the funds after we know that our project is moving forward?
That's totally up to you folks, and also I would say Russ and your team.
I'd say that's why we want your expert eyes on it, Claudia. If that's what you guys feel like, this is premature, we shouldn't tie this money up yet, there's better uses for it, that'll be the recommendation we give to the Home Consortium, and they can consider that.
And Claudia, did they submit a project last year?
They did, yes, and it didn't score well.
Yeah, and they also are saying that their start date isn't until like 2027. So it's definitely a project.
It says 2027 on the very front page, but then later in the document, it says that they would start December 2025 with a 27 completion date. So there's at least a discrepancy in the document.
A little inconsistency.
Yeah.
As far as timeline.
My personal feeling is that it's premature. I hate to tie up these dollars when we don't know if this project's moving forward. I don't know. That's I just feel like once a project gets tax credits, yes, that's great. I don't know. That's my feeling.
So given this company has a bit of experience, where are they struggling? How come they're not meeting these other criterias for the like tax credits?
Scoring is all made public. And so I'm not divulging anything when I say that they scored, their costs were pretty extreme. The costs on building were pretty extreme. And I'm not really sure how they will improve upon that, but
okay.
Yeah, the 9% credits are limited. We will have actually fewer credits this time around to award than we did last time around. And last time around, we were only able to award 7 projects in total. And most of those were PSH projects because we do prioritize those. And then a couple from other set aside pools. This one is not, it doesn't fit into any of the set aside pools. And so it's in the general pool. It's just really hard to compete there.
Thank you.
Who else? His comments.
This is Stephanie. I'm just glad we have Claudia on this committee.
That's funny.
Insight too. Setting aside the funding issue, I really do like the project. But I agree with Claudia that maybe it's, we wait until I have funding. And I don't know if that can be our recommendation, right? So we don't need to look at it again. We do recommend this, but we also recommend that they wait until there's additional funding committed before.
If I could step in here, if they end up saying they recommend to the Home Consortium and it goes all the way through in this hypothetical world where they say, okay, for home new investment or home new development, we're not going to do the allocation yet. We're going to hold on to these dollars. We'd have to reissue a new RFA, correct?
Yeah, most likely. I mean, the recommendation could be from this group, like Claudia is saying, is prioritize this for 26-27 round of funding. Mm-hmm. If they were to be awarded tax credits. Like you're saying, Stephanie, we like this project, we think it's good, but it's not far enough along in the process. But prioritize it in the future if it does get to that point. That could be a recommendation for the consortium to consider. Just because of timeliness things with home and just being good stewards, I wouldn't want to hold the money for a year. I would want to put out everything we could this year and then just have that as a priority for the next round if they do get broad enough loan.
But help me understand that. Like, is this... Okay, let's say we recommend not funding it. Let's just say that. What happens to this money. Is that where it sits then until the next year?
It would go back into the larger home pool, so we would just fund more tenant-based rental assistance and other eligible home projects.
I see.
Because there were plenty of other home-eligible projects that applied. We okay. just knew that a portion of the money we wanted to set aside for new development if there was a need.
Okay. Claudia, may I ask you a question? This is like tax credit and a little bit of just kind of high-level development question. With what we're seeing with Housing Trust Fund, with the projects that we gave recommendation with the $25 million, we're realizing, though projects have had tax credits, there's been a couple of projects that have had to give back tax credits or they've had to move around other funding sources.
Right.
So in your, I guess my question is, on average, or like if you were to relook at this application, how many funding sources would we really want to see in the capital stack before we feel comfortable besides just tax credits? Obviously the tax credits are huge because it's most of the equity. Just kind of,
I mean, I actually would feel comfortable with just tax credits because that's the biggest, hardest part to nail down. Yeah. And if they get tax credits, it's, you know, if they have estimated their costs properly, then it's really, you know, the rest of it does tend to fall into place. I would be not so very concerned if they get credits. That seems to me to be the biggest component.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else from the committee have any other comments? Well, I then from my perspective is I agree that I definitely think that there's elements of this project that I think are good, that are hitting targets as far as income targets and providing the daycare and mix of units and both a mix of preservation and building new stuff. I mean, a lot of there is good. I understand that we're far away on the finance, and I did not probably do a good enough analysis of what the actual cost was to, is that a good cost or not a good cost for a project of that size? So I would have probably scored it, because in my mind, I thought we had kind of done that before where we had sort of approved stuff knowing that they were going to have to go for additional financing later. And so I was kind of looking at it from that perspective. But knowing that it has met obstacles in the past, and the other part, the big part is also, I wasn't sure if this was like use it or lose it, or use it or it sits for a year.
Yeah.
But knowing that these funds can be used elsewhere, and then knowing that this group could come back again once they've got, you know, these other funding sources under control. Because I'm not sure how much $1 million is going to, million out of what, 45?
It's a drop in the bucket right now.
Yeah.
With where the project's at funding wise.
Yeah. So I can get behind the idea of saying that the recommendation is that this one isn't ready yet, but that we like the concept that they're doing. They just need to be further along in the project. So based on the comments that I've heard, I can get behind that idea. Opening up one more time for comments. Does anyone want to make a recommendation then on a motion? Make a motion on the recommendation.
Mm-hmm. It's early in 2025. We still got time. Yeah. We're just gonna feel it again.
I was gonna say, do you want me to maybe make a staff recommendation for a motion,
or how about? Yeah, well, so here's what I'm hearing. And then, so what I normally, I think the chair isn't supposed to make the motion. So, but what I'm hearing is that the motion would be something along the lines of the Housing Trust Fund Advisory Board does not recommend approval of this application. And then the rest of it's really editorial, right? Like we can pass that information on about our feelings about it, but the motion is just we don't approve it.
Yeah, basically.
It could be not approve it, but to give it a preferential treatment in the next round of scoring. You could also say that, like, we would like this to be a prioritized, or we'd recommend you prioritize this project in the future if it gets its funding in place, or it's like, hey, it's not ready. So we'll look at it again next time it comes up.
Well, and my one last thing, and then I'll ask if anyone wants to make the motion, is I think it's a good project, and I think giving it positive, like at that editorial side of like when we get back to him saying like there was positive things, I don't know that we want to say that it gets preferential just because we don't know what's going to come around that next round.
Absolutely.
So
it also could buckle us.
Cool. Yeah. So I would just go with the we don't recommend approval and then my comments. But does anyone else have a different motion that they would like to make, or would they like to make that motion?
I motion that we do not recommend approval of this proposal.
I second.
It's been motioned and seconded. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Any opposed?
And Josh, I sent you a revised score sheet just now.
Thank you. I'll
based on this input.
Perfect. Yeah, if you guys can all just send your scores to me, before the end of the day or before the end of the week, that would be great. I'll get them over to Russ.
Thank you. We'll just save those, anonymize them, and thank you guys for your time. We'll pass that information along to the grantee as well, or the applicant, because they do like this kind of feedback. So we'll know. But thank you for your time reviewing that and for your expertise.
Thank you all. All right. We're almost there. We're quick with these meetings. We do some record time stuff. So final thing, Matt, if you're okay with it, other business, if
please
it's okay, I take over. So I forgot who mentioned it earlier. I think it was Stephanie that said, hey, didn't we meet at some point from August to the end of the year? Yes, we did. Unfortunately, we didn't have our regular meetings, but in that time that we haven't been able to meet, there's been a lot of future planning going on with Housing Trust Fund. Specifically, we've been looking at other funding sources that we can get allocated to the Housing Trust Fund. Two big ones that we're thinking about at this time are CRA. So where is she at? Stephanie, she doesn't have her camera on, but I've been working with Stephanie a little bit, picking her brain a little bit, and you know, hopefully we're going to go out to some CRA banks in the future here and see if we can get an allocation to the Housing Trust Fund and continue our good work. The second one is going to hopefully creating a good plan to get some sort of RDA interlocal agreements going, like we do with Bluffdale, or doing some sort of consortium depending on what the Utah code allows for. And so more details are going to get hammered out here in the next couple of months, I believe. We're just drilling in some of our pitch deck items, and then we intend to share that with this group so that way we're all in the loop. And if there's any comments or edits after we release that, we are always ears, because we want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward into the public.
Sorry, and what were you thinking was the sometime this spring? Is that what you were thinking? Or did you say the next?
Next couple of months. So like springtime is when I think we're hitting the ground running. We're calling, what do we call it, the book tour? Yeah, we're trying to do a book tour with a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely.
And so I think spring is when we're going to start doing that.
We've got some coordinating to do with the mayor's office. Don't want to step on their toes. So that's what Josh is working on right now in our leadership. And then getting that set up so we can go out and start talking to the cities.
Yep. Any questions on future planning stuff at all?
Josh, let me add just quickly. The council did award $711,000 last year to the Housing Trust Fund. So, strange number. there's a reason behind it, but I won't get into because it's kind of boring. But we did get a little over $700,000 for the Housing Trust Fund, which isn't much compared to what you did with $25 million. But we were very appreciative that they would consider anything coming into the HTF. So.
Yes. Thank you, Mike. I should have included that. That is something very, very exciting to share.
No words.
Did she just join?
Michelle did.
Yeah. Michelle did. Awesome. We're on to the final item of our agenda. Again, thank you all for sticking with us so early in the morning, so early in the year. The final thing that we're going to talk about in this meeting has to do with action items that we actually need from all of you board members, which Michelle Hicks is online, I believe, and she'll go over all the steps. We to my understanding, there's been some updates to Granicus, and that's the system we use to be able to do reappointments or put any agenda items for the council. And so to kind of streamline and clean things up when it comes to reappointments, this process that she's going to explain makes that a lot easier. Michelle, welcome. Good morning.
And you can you guys hear me okay?
Perfect.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, okay, great. Sorry. I just got a new computer, so I'm still trying, like, finding out all of the fun things that come with getting a new computer. So thank you so much for allowing me to join all of you today. My name is Michelle Hicks. I'm Mayor Wilson's operations director in her office. One of my main duties is to help centralize the administrative part of boards and commissions. So I help offer trainings to board coordinators. I ensure the paperwork's up to date, the reappointments and appointments are made in a timely manner. If there's help, you know, if the board coordinators need help communicating that there's an opening, you know, I can assist with that as well. So that's kind of my role with boards and commissions. I do a lot of other things, but for your guys' sake, I won't bore you with that information. A little while ago, we retained a program that is with Granicus, but it's the Boards and Commissions portal. That allows us to get kind of a really high level view of all of our boards. We have around 40 throughout the county, and some of them are advisory in nature. Some of them are policy making boards. They're all very, very different with different bylaws, different ordinances, and kind of different ways that you guys govern yourselves. However, to help with the centralized process, what we need from you is to create an application. It doesn't mean that anybody's being reappointed or anything like that. It's something that should have been done since the very start of this board or any of the commissions, where a person wanting to be on the board would apply for that job. It would go into kind of a bank, and then we could appoint you through that program. It kind of does several things, two of the main points that I want to talk about, it creates a historical record so that we are able to see who served on the board when, kind of your resume or like why the person was served on the board. It allows us to maintain that documentation in our office, as well as make it very easy for all, if a new board coordinator comes on, they are able to get that information and not have to wait to see if a files transfer or something gets lost on a personal drive. It's there. It's, you know, for us to look at. It's for the board coordinator to look at and kind of do their administrative duties. The second piece is the council, when they give advice and consent, they require a resume and an application through the system. So knowing that all of you are already on the board, it's actually reversing the process in where we just need some basic information from you. You know, there's a couple of questionnaires that we don't actually need. Like, why do you want to serve on the board? That's more useful for somebody that has not been on a board and that we're deciding if they're a good fit for the board. You guys are obviously already a good fit. You come, you're prepared, and you do really, really good work already. However, it's kind of backing up the administrative part. So yes, I'm going to say an application, but know that nobody's seat is threatened. It's just to kind of do the administrative, just go backwards. So, with that, there's also some demographic information that's requested. Some of the boards have very strict guidelines. I'll give an example of the health department. They need a dentist on the board. They need a doctor on the board. They need somebody that's being regulated on the board. So they're very specific. However, the boards as a whole, we would like them to look and feel like the residents of the county, to make sure that all of the voices are heard and all of perspectives are representative of the boards. And so that if it's an advisory, the mayor knows that it looks and feels like the county that she serves. And so that is the secondary piece of that. With that being said, we will make it super easy for you guys to be able to do that. We'll, instead of having you go in and doing it through the portal, we'll actually just hand you guys a piece of paper, hurry and fill it out. Me and, your board coordinator will, do the work for you and input them into the system, for that. And then really it's just going to stay there. If you're being reappointed, we'll just grab that application and be able to send that to the council easier than kind of trying to find you and do that then. So with that, are there any questions, comments, concerns that I can help answer?
Like Michelle said, I will be your spiritual guide through this because I'm still learning. She kind of gave me a quick rundown of the system, so I'm always here to help out with anything that comes up.
Now, I could be wrong, but it seemed like when I was approached by Dina initially to apply, I thought we had filled out some of that information. But I'm not saying I can't provide it again, of course, but to the staff's credit, I thought we had provided some background information.
There was a resume and a application submitted on paper similar to what Michelle's talking about
when
you guys were first approached. It just, I believe those were from 2022 though, correct? Yes. Yeah. And a lot of it's redacted. So it's just, we're just trying to clean up that system again.
Yeah. No worries.
Yeah. And that's honestly how we used to do it. We had you guys, you know, fill out, you know, hand and paper, and then, you know, not like it got lost or stolen or anything like that. But yeah. I think with the transferring of all the board coordinators and you know, administrative turnover, that probably went into their, like, they probably scanned it into their personal drive and it's like, well, now it's gone. And so this is a way to kind of alleviate that headache and not have you guys have to do it again. So, yeah.
No worries at all.
Great. I totally get it. So, okay. If you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out. You can give them my email and my cell phone number if you'd like. Happy to be of assistance. Please know that the mayor really appreciates you guys. I mean, the volunteers and the board and the on the board are really unsung heroes. They do the work with not a lot of fanfare or thanks, but just know Mayor Wilson appreciates all of you. I appreciate all of you. So thank you so much. Great.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
One last administrative thing that I forgot to mention and not to add to homework, but you'll receive an additional email from me. Matt, you have a hard copy already, so you won't have to do this. It's non-disclosure time, folks. I think this is our third round, right? Third round of non-disclosures. We got to do them every year. I have to fill one out too. Russ, all of us here at the office do. So if you'll receive an email with an electronic copy, and I'll provide this to our Does anyone have questions about the non-disclosure statements at all?
Not about the non-disclosure, but do we need to do our annual open public meetings training? Are we subject to that?
So that is a great question. Mike and I talked a lot about that a little bit this week. I've had trouble getting in touch with our DA that does that. So if it is something we have to do, we'll either add the meeting for this, like just a quick meeting for this month so he can go over that, or we'll put it first thing on the agenda in February.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's a great question. Both mics brought that up this week. That's crazy.
I have to do it for my planning commission, so I thought we would have to do it too.
Yep, crossing T's and dotting I's. I love it. Other than that, I think let's try to give 20 minutes back to everyone's day if possible.
Let's do it. Yeah. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
So moved. Moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Hearing none. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm.